This is a continuation of the January 19, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves case number 472 for property ID 160533000. The property is owned by HPT IGH-2 Properties Trust. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office and no one present for the appellant, so I'll hand it back to the board.
Since no one is present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
No questions.
Closed hearing.
This is a continuation of the January 19th, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves case number 472 for property ID 160448000. The property is owned by HPT IHG Properties Trust. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office and no one present for the appellant, so I will hand it back to the board.
Since no one was present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
No questions. Call out. Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the January 19th, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property, and actually we are reviewing two properties. The first is case number 479 for property ID 224094000, and the second is case number 480 for property ID 224185000. Both properties are owned by Donald Stewart Hunter and Tricia Lou Hunter. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Steve Anderson as the representative present for the appellant. So Steve, we'll go ahead and have you raise your hand, get you sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to remind you that we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your client's properties as of January 1st, 2021. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he does not like our decision. Unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain the appeal.
Did the assessor supply any information at all on this?
No.
Office? Okay. All right. Thank you. The property is over on the Lewis River up in North Vancouver, battleground area, if you will, and been on the market for quite a while. It started in 2018 at $2 million and kept lowering the price down to $1.3 million in 2020. It finally sold on September 25th, and what they did was they combined the house on the acreage, if you will, and the lot across the street. So they're both for sale individually with the same ownership, two different MLS numbers. And what the people did was they went ahead and just bundled the two together and bought it for $1,420,056 on September 20th of 2020. We had over 800 days of market exposure on the main property. The lot had roughly 600 days of market exposure in it also. So we feel that it's an arm's length transaction. It's had obviously adequate market exposure. And since the sale date is timely for the assessment date, we feel it's relative. I supplied you with the MLS history on the property, on the listing, if you will. I also supplied you with copies of the MLS printouts of both the properties, and hopefully that will help you make your decision.
The main property was listed for $1.3 million, and right. The property across the street was listed for $600,000, correct?
Right.
So $1.9 million total, and then they paid $1.420 million for both properties. Is that correct?
Correct.
Got it. And the assessed value is $1,579,379 for the two properties. And it's 5 acres and 6 acres, correct?
Correct.
Got it. And you're asking for...
I broke it up over two parcels. Basically, it's a sales price.
Yeah. Oh, what's the improvements on the property across the street?
There are none that I know of. Let me look at that real quick.
I think it says...
You got $6,000 on there. So
I think that maybe it's a shed or something, or... Hang on a minute on that one. $6,700 what the assessor has on there for improvements. That's what we mirrored.
Is this that area that's down off of the road to the right, to the east, as you go up that road?
Which way are you going, Mr. Weaver? Are you going north or south on that road?
North.
I believe it's to the west of the...
Okay. Yeah. I'm not familiar with it then. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, there it is.
And where is the property across the road?
I think in this case they're referring to this road, so their personal road, because this is the separate property and it does list a shed.
Where is it again?
So this is the subject house, and it has its own road. This parcel is separate, but it's... I think this is the across the road that it's referring to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't even...
It's on the same side as the highway, but there's a separate road there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
I don't have any other questions.
I'm fine with this. Okay, I don't have questions.
And it was purchased when, in September?
Yes, of 20.
Yeah. Okay, I'm good with it.
Okay.
You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. Right.
Thank you.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the January 19th, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 482 for property ID 170640000. The property is owned by Kyle Isaac and Jennifer L. Isaac, trustees. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Jennifer Isaac on video chat for the appellant. So I'll go ahead and have you raise your right hand and we'll get you sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. And just to remind you, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2021. Keep in mind, the assessor has presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from the court as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. And I just want to ask, the assessor has written a letter, I think, somewhere.
Yes, they recommended another value of $1,438,521. Did you receive that letter?
I received it after the 10 days had passed. So this was emailed to me, and it went to my junk mail folder. And so I'm not sure why they wouldn't have mailed an important document like this out. But I responded to the assessor on October 20th that I had just found the message and had requested an extension to review the auditor's response or the assessor's response and got no response.
Okay.
And I will be honest, I was planning to submit more information and over the holidays missed the 21-day deadline. So I would have agreed with the assessor and just moved on just to save time, but I received no response from them.
Okay.
I did have a question, and I know they're not here, but they concluded a comparable sales grid, and I'm assuming AV stands for adjusted value, so the subject total adjusted value for my home 1,423,521, but their recommended value was higher than that. I didn't know why there was a difference.
It should be.
So that's the only thing I would point out, was that it didn't match. And those are the things I would have brought to their attention if I would have received their response in a timely manner.
Okay. Are you? Would you accept the 1,423,521?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
We're all set.
We will correct their error. I don't know. They probably made a calculation and put that number in there, and then they recalculated or something. Mm-hmm. It came out different. We see that frequently.
Okay.
Their schedules don't match.
Yeah. I mean, I still think it's probably overvalued, but I know I did not submit evidence, so we will just go with that.
All right. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Close it?
Close the hearing. Yes.
This is a continuation of the January 19th, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. In this case, we do have 30 minutes. We've doubled the time. The hearing before us involves just one petition. It's case 298 for property ID 10375000. The property is owned by Karen D. Knudsen and David A. Knudsen trustees. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have David Knudsen on the line for the appellant present over video chat. I do want to check real quick the mailing address for your decision. I've got 3713 Creston Avenue. Is that all right with you?
Correct.
Okay, I'll use that one. All right, and then go ahead and raise your right hand. We'll get you sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to remind you that we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2021. Keep in mind, the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this court as the outcome. and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. Unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay, so of course I've made a letter with attachments. Probably shouldn't have written this letter when I wrote it so late at night. Lots of liability, but I'll just kind of talk through and make sure that all my attachments are understood. So first point is that last year, the board adjusted the value based upon actual closed sales that I provided. And that was a pretty big adjustment because there were substantially similar duplex properties sold in the previous year. Therefore, that would be, I think, the first attachment that I refer to where I'm showing your order. Okay, so since I am a designated broker and member of the RMLS and have been since the early 90s owning my own real estate company, obviously I have access to the RMLS system. So first place I started was, is there any closed sales of duplex lots for the year that one would look at, the prior year to the assessment year? In other words, looking at closed sales in 2020. I can find none in public record, period, for just land. Previous year, I found some, which I provided, which is how we arrived at the land. Therefore, well, it can be argued that if we just look at prices, median prices have risen, average prices of the entire market have risen, but we're looking at duplex properties. Now, since the assessor has not ever provided to me his basis for how he is arriving at these figures, and I know this neighborhood, I wouldn't say specialize in it, but I own other properties nearby, so I'm, taking a look at it from time to time. Several years ago, there was a closed sale of a residential lot that was less than this current assessed value. But that's really been the only nearby sale. So we all know that the assessor is now using a computerized mass appraisal system. I believe that this computerized mass appraisal system has some significant flaws in it. For instance, and just to show it, I have made in an attachment 33 closed sales of two-bedroom duplex lots that have a Vancouver, Washington address somewhere. Of these 33 closed sales, there is one, repeat, only one, with a total assessment above $500,000. I also have provided in the attachment two-bedroom duplex sales of the previous year, because I'm trying to see, as a real estate broker, what has been the typical and on average rise in price for a duplex that has two-bedroom units. Now, I've been in this real estate game a long, long time. And in the real world, duplexes are bought and sold primarily by people who are either who either have 1031 money, 1031 tax deferred exchange money. And while we could spend all kinds of time getting bogged down upon, oh, this one has a garage, that one doesn't have a garage, that one has carports, this one doesn't have carports, this lot's bigger, that lot's smaller, I'm just trying to look for the averages. Why? Because the assessor has pulled one close fail and tried to say that my duplex property built in the 1950s that still looks like the 1950s mostly. There is one side where someone did a botched insulation of cabinets prior to my ownership. Probably would be worth more money these days if they had not done that, but that's another story. So I have provided in detail that one sale and one sale only. And for those of you who know Vancouver well, we'll talk about where it is. That sale is right over by Franklin Elementary School, a couple blocks from what people would call the Lincoln neighborhood, full of charm, lots of old trees. The houses that surround that duplex are of higher quality, more prestigious neighborhoods than mine, which is basically located one block from Main Street. I can see Safeway from it. It's just not the kind and quality of neighborhood. That's the first problem. Next problem. And you have all the pictures there, so you can see the inside of it. I'll quote from what the marketing agent had to say in their marketing attempts at that one there. That's the property that's at 112 to 114 East 28th Street. It's a classic brick and cedar ranch with a basement duplex in the uptown area of Vancouver, designed and built by architect Drexel Scott in 1944. Well, if I'm doing 1031 tax deferred exchanges looking for rent income, most people could care less about who the famous architect was in 1944. So this 3848 square foot multifamily home sits on a 7590 lot, features 4-bedroom, 2-bath, oil first air heat, wood burning fireplaces, near schools, and freeway access. When you look at the pictures that I provided of the inside of that property, everything I see about that property was high quality work in the time it was built. It would still be high quality work now versus what I own. I own your typical 1950s ranch with cottage cheese ceilings. Probably has asbestos in it. I've never checked. That it's all about, those are about, of course, providing safe, clean, affordable housing. While I do have basements, well, and when you own a piece of property that's 70 years old, since no permits have ever been pulled on it to finish a basement, I've had discussions with people in the assessor's department about, well, the basement's finished. I says, well, not actually. Doesn't have carpet, has painted concrete, still has the super small windows that doesn't give egress. So if you think that's a finished basement, you probably need to get some more training as an appraiser. Because, of course, they're always looking for ways to get the price up. I would conclude that this one high-quality sale that's nearby my property is the exception to the market. Clearly, I've shown you that it is. It has actually nothing to do with my property located on the corner of Preston and 38th, with limited parking because of the La-Di-Da coffee shop that's right there a block away. It's just laughable. I mean, I've been selling real estate a long time. Some of these computerized things are just getting to be a joke. Yeah, the market's up. So I could just say, hey, there's not one closed sale from the 1950s. I'm within 5 years. Give me what it was last year. There's no closed sales of lots. Give me what it was last year. But that would be a tad bit disingenuous of me because I know that, yeah, we're in an appreciating market. So I have a very simple way of deciding how much more has my property gone up. And that's on average. I took the average price of the sales before, took the average price of the duplex two-bedroom sales this year. You put those all together, and at the end, my conclusion was it's a 15.82% rise, which is $48,567, which would lead to a total assessed value of $335,567. There are no closed sales of duplex lots, except for the ones I found last year. My land assessment then would be at 107. My improvements would be at 248,567. I'm asking you, the board, for an adjusted value of 355,567, which of course is up 48,567 from the year before, which, based upon the little bit that I still dabble in, helping people buy and sell, that's pretty consistent with the overall market. And I think that's all I have to say about this. I do apologize for my bad grammar, and doing a little bit better health-wise this year, so probably the next one will be, since I haven't written it yet. Hopefully I'll be able to make it clearer. Any questions for me?
You didn't include pictures of the interior of your duplex, did you?
No. I think I did the year before, because they were in RMLS, like, when I bought it, which was... Remember, when did I buy it? When was it? 2003, 2004.
Okay.
But I think the one last year, there was one that was like identical to, I mean, so identical, it's like probably was built by the same, builder in the 1950s. So again, the one that I own, you know, these are pretty typical floor plans of when these were built. You walk in, you almost immediately walk into a living room. If you look up, you see a cottage cheese ceiling. You, to the right is a L-shaped, super small kitchen. By the time that we try to put some things in it that are more convenient for the renters, it now has a built-in dishwasher, but the only way you can accomplish that is by cutting out one of the cabinets. If you pass back into the living room, you go into a hall. There's a bedroom to the right. There's a bedroom to the left. There's a small bathroom. You know, it's the kind that has the steel tub on the bottom with tile from the 50s. So that's the one side. If you go down into the basement, there's areas that is like laundry facilities where the water heater and furnaces, and then basically big open spaces where at some time in the past someone's spurred out a wall and added drywall, but certain sections of it have the drywall removed when plumbing leaks have happened or whatever, where holes have gotten cut in the ceiling and you make a repair and you don't worry about it because it's basically used for storage. When you go to the other, side, the only difference would be on the other side, somebody, I'm guessing in the 90s, gutted the kitchen and stuck in modular cabinets. And at first glance, you might say, oh, this is nicer, this is better, but it's really not. It's just the crappiest cabinets that money could have bought at that time. So again, these are things all done prior to my ownership. I have pulled permits, and right after I bought this, the day I bought this, it needed a roof badly. So roof went on, gas furnace went in, and that's like in the early, it's after the crash. So when did I buy this? I don't know, 2009, 2010, 2011, might even been later, but somewhere in that range. It's in public record, but I've had it for a while now. And all I've been doing is, doing normal maintenance, painting it, keeping it rented. Tenants move out, you go through, you paint everything, you make it smell good again, and you rent it again. Does that answer your question? I guess we have to go through this again. I'll go take a bunch of pictures. But my point being, an exception sale, which is this high quality sale, an exception is not the rule of thumb in real estate. It is the exception. And one should not assess everybody's properties based upon an exception. It should be based upon the averages. Solely in my own humble opinion. And as we all know from previous meetings, I'm pretty quick to voice my opinion, even if I'm wrong.
Okay, I think I have it.
Yeah. All righty.
I have enough information.
Okay.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks,
you'll hear from us within 30 days.
Yeah. Appreciate you giving me a chance. And that was the only, quite frankly, that was the only system I could come up with to try to say what's fair for the rise of the market.
All right. Got it.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Close it?
Close
here. Okay, one sec. This is a continuation of the January 19th, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 483 for property ID 192679000. The property is owned by Aaron M. Lemon and Catherine A. Lemon. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Aaron Lemon on for the appellant. So if we could have you go ahead and raise your right hand, we'll get you sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you gave in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony, make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2021. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision.
Understood.
Unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay, wonderful. After receiving my valuation from the assessor for the value as of 2020, I looked at that, and it was a 33% increase over what it was listed for 2019. The property was purchased in the year of 2020 by myself. I do understand that it was a non-arm's length sale via private party. However, it was purchased at a price of $525,000. The value that was set on the home for that purchase was an assumed market value minus repairs that needed to be done to the home, which included exterior paint, roof, furnace, insulation. The home had been a rental for 10 years prior, and it needed considerable amount of updates. And so that's how we came to the sale price at the time. Last year, the valuation, after we went through this process, came to $199 per square foot. And now as the assessor came back around for 2020, which was the year of that sale, they have come in at $265 per square foot for the home. I pulled comparables for the area, and specifically looking at 5-acre lots with homes built within the same time frame and of the same quality and era, and looked specifically at those. I saw in that, even though most of the comparables was a larger square footage, overall, they did appear to, like I said, be a comparable home, on, the same size lot specifically. Based on those sales, there was an average of $165 per square foot. Was the calculation that breaks down to. And looking at then also what the assessor's value on those homes were, for 2020, it came up to $189 per square foot. And so I believe that my calculation at $265 per square foot is excessive in comparison to what the comparables were in the market of that time. And so that's why I am petitioning for a requested reduction.
Okay.
I realize you picked properties that are 5 acres and in the near proximity, but you picked houses that are almost twice as much square footage as yours, and the price per square foot is going to be different on that size of a home versus the size yours is. So that kind of skews the values a little bit.
Yeah, understand that. But finding the comparables on 5 acres in the area, my home is smaller in footprint in comparison. But as far as ones of equal square footage on this size lot, there wasn't comparables really available for the time.
It's interesting that two of your properties, even though they're considerably larger, the sale price was pretty close to what they're saying your assessed value should be, but their homes are quite a bit larger than yours. The next year, I would just try to see if you could get something closer to the 3,000 square foot for your comps.
Understood.
Just to get, that really makes the best comparison.
Umbrella.
Yeah, completely understand.
Did you look at the comparable properties at all that the assessor provided?
I did look at the comparable properties. There was a range on those as far as size and build quality and era that I felt was a much larger range than what we were specifically looking at as comparables for our home. Then it comes down to the question of price per the actual square footage of the homes themselves, and so that's why I stuck with the original comparables that I had submitted.
And next year, I don't know if you've done all these repairs that you talked about, the roof and the furnace and some of those things.
Most of them, but...
Most of them you have done?
I'm still in the process. The roof furnace, yes, that has been done. You know, as far as, you know, interior, you know, upgrades in general, those are still very much in process.
And was it there a lot of wear and tear on it as a rental when you moved in?
Yes, it was.
Okay. So if you, next year, if you have bids and pictures, just show that. That's another thing that we can take into account.
Understood.
I don't have any further questions.
I don't either.
I got enough information. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Mm-hmm. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
All right.
Okay.
Great.
Have a good day.
Bye. Close the hearing.
This is the January 19th, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 470 for property ID 101118000. The property is owned by Strata Arneda, LLC. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office and no one present for the appellant, so I will hand it back to the board.
Since there's no one present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
I don't have any questions.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the January 19th, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 247 for property ID 171130000. The property is owned by Yupu Zhang.
Yes, Yupu Zhang, yeah.
And Helen Zhang.
Yeah, my wife.
Okay. And that is also listed as co-trustees. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have both Yupu Zhang and Helen Zhang on the line for the appellant present over video chat. You don't both have to speak, but whoever would like to, go ahead and raise your right hand and we'll get you sworn in.
One of you, raise your right hand.
Oh, yeah.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes, I do.
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear your testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2021. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't. So, unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
We did receive a response letter from the assessor office around October 28th. Not sure that count anything, but the oral evidence is against that letter. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so as I send you the evidence statement, and we're thinking that based on your COE guidelines, the sales date should close to the January 1st, 2021, and also it should be similar or nearby properties. So our property, we have 5-acre lots. We don't have... we don't have water or sewer. We have to use in septic and well. So my home is built on around the year 2005. But from the assessor's response letter, they listed the two property, which is far different than my home. One was built on 1992. Another one that date, the sales date, it's almost 1 year behind the head to the January 1st, 2021. So that's why we had three comparable sales around my home. If you check my attachment, there is a comparable sales for assessment, for this year. You see the first one is in Camas. And also second one, second one is in our neighborhood. Actually, it's our neighbor. His home is better location than our home. They sold the home on July 7th. Third one is also in Kansas. So that's three comparable sales with my home. We think these three comparable is much, much accurate compared with assessor's response. Of course, and as we list on the tax increase, looks like my home always increases more than other home in our neighborhood. Plus, I also send some roof issue, water damage issue, and we haven't fixed it yet. Any questions?
You have a finished basement, daylight basement, is that correct?
We have a daylight basement, but it's not totally finished.
Partial finished.
Yeah, it's a partial finished. When we bought this home, they already clearly saying it's a partial finished. It's about 50-50, but I think last time maybe they confused with the basement value. I also checked this assessor sent me the evaluation, appraisal form. I see on 2020 July, they actually increased a lot on the basement value. But if I check their 2017 evaluation, the basement value is only $85 and the main floor and the second floor was $138. So $85, $138, that's about 40%, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, 60%. But on this year, 2020 assessment, I think they gave more. If you divide this 103, divide this one, you can.
Mm.
Can you do that now? Because the assessor gave the increase of the value for the basement, that's the main reason I think they are talking about here. So if I do this 103.33 divided by 163.46, so that's the 0.63. So that one on 2017 was 85.71 divided 138.29. Yeah. Yeah, 117 was 0.61. This year they changed to 0.63. But anyway, our basement is not fully finished.
Is there exterior siding and windows?
Basement, we have partial. One side, you can see a window, which is like an English basement window.
Mm-hmm.
Another side, there is no window because it's just a block. It's closed. Right. The slope is like a half is only two story.
Exterior door.
They have the on the English basement side. They have a door there. They have mm-hmm. a.
Do you have any plumbing?
Plumbing basement is the same as before when we bought. There is a bathroom, a half mm-hmm. bath. Yeah, small bathroom. Okay. There.
It's a finished bathroom and what, a recreation room, or what else is down there?
Yeah, it's just an empty room with a bathroom. Yeah.
Does it have carpeting and the walls are finished and painted and that sort of thing?
Half of them is carpet.
And the other half is what, cement?
Cement. Another half of cement is because no window, no door, it's just empty concrete wall.
Okay. Like a storage room or?
Yes.
Okay.
Have we made an adjustment for you in previous years? Have you appeared before us before?
You did, which year? I think, not last year, the previous year, not the previous year, but you did maybe one adjustment on which year? Let me check here. If you check that tax comparison one, you did adjustment on 2019, but not 2020. 2020, because the assessor made a mistake and they thinking our home should be three story. That's why 2020, you only reduce a little bit about the water damage part. 2019 you did.
So you still haven't replaced the roof and?
No. The everything is increased now, and it's so hard to find the label. So many things, right? The COVID-19, and no, we didn't do anything.
I don't have any more questions.
Thank you.
I'm okay.
Thank you.
I got it.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, and let's see, you've got comparables, okay.
Yeah, I got at least six, three. Yeah.
Yeah, got it.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye. Have a nice day.
Good day.
Nice day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Close the hearing.